This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo, and the E.P. Non-Erotic Podcast. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer bonus episodes for as little as $2 per month. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Another Man's Wife by DG here. Chapter 01. I'm sitting here debating my problem with myself. I'm divorced due to a cheating wife. I have been divorced going on a year. I have no kids and no immediate family in the area. I'm telling you this because I want another man's wife. I don't know if it's love, need, lust, infatuation, or just plain want of her. I do know that revenge is part of it. You see, I don't know her that well. I have been seeing her often when I go to lunch. She works in the same building as I do. I have been trying to find out as much information on her as possible. I am going to have her, but my problem is, then what? It's a horrible feeling in a sense. To want someone so bad that I would be willing to take her by force if necessary. So far I found out she is around 30 years old. A nice petite build. Nipples that stick out from behind her braless blouses. She wears mini skirts or tight pants that show the imprint of her pussy pushing through. Never any panty lines, so she either wears thongs or goes pantyless. She's married to a loser as far as I can tell. She has no children and is somewhat of a flirt. Her husband's a loser because he doesn't know what he has and is willing to take a chance on losing her. The worst thing about him is he broke up my marriage. He fucked my wife and now I will make him pay by doing his wife. I figure if I take her and fuck her, that I will be doing her a favor. In case you haven't figured it out, I'm a nutcase. A bona fide son of a bitch. I've been this way ever since I caught my wife cheating on me. I came home from work early one day and just walked into my house. I really wasn't paying much attention to anything and just walked into my bedroom to change my clothes. There in the middle of the bed lay my wife, spread-eagled with another man riding the hell out of her. She saw me and screamed, and the sorry bastard thought he was doing a good job on her. He was just starting to shoot his load when I grabbed him by the shoulders and pulled him off my cheating wife. As I threw him to the floor and started beating the living crap out of him, he was shooting his load everywhere. My crazy wife just kept screaming. I beat that sorry fucker up pretty good. As he was starting to get up, I dragged him to the door and threw him naked right out into the street. I threw his wallet and car keys onto the grass, but not his clothes. He got up, staggered to his car, a bloody mess, and drove away. I never saw or heard from him again until one day fate just intervened. I then walked back into the bedroom where my sorry excuse for a wife was getting dressed quickly. She was crying. Kevin, it's not what it looked like. Please, let's talk about it. We can work this out. Not what it looked like. I said. It looked like you were fucking that asshole in our bed. Were you fucking him or not? Please, Kevin, let me explain. I interrupted her. Either you were fucking him or you weren't. Which is it? It isn't that hard of a question. Just answer it. I waited a few seconds and said, since you're having such a hard time with that one question, our talk is over. I'm going out to have dinner. You have 1 hour to get whatever you want and get the fuck out of my life. If you're still here when I get back, I'm going to beat the living shit out of you and then throw your sorry ass out. That's it, you have 1 hour. That's the end of this conversation. Then I walked out the door. I waited 2 hours before going back. I was hoping she would be gone. You see, I'm a man of my word and I would have beat the fuck out of her, even though she's a woman and my wife. When I got back home, she was gone and most of her personal stuff was gone also. She left me a note. I wasn't even going to read it, but then thought maybe I should. Note from Rachel. Dearest Kevin, I made a mistake, a really big mistake. Jim doesn't mean anything to me. He was an old school friend that I ran into. We were lovers back in school. You knew I wasn't a virgin when we got married. It was Jim who was my first love. Things just happened and old memories never die. I ran into Jim at the mall. It was so good to see him again. Just as an old friend. Well, he started flirting with me and I started remembering old times. He asked me where I lived and we came to the house. I should have known better, but I made a mistake. When we got into the house, I showed him around. When we got to the bedroom, he took me into his arms and kissed me. It just seemed like old times. Then it happened. We started necking like we used to and then he took me. God, I wish it never happened, but it did. I'm so sorry for hurting you. Please reconsider taking me back. I promise to be a good wife and never to cheat again. I really do love you, Kevin. Love always, Rachel. The note just hurt me worse. Now the prick had a name. I loved my wife, but I'm one of the nutcases out there that believes love can be lost. In my case, it was totally gone. It was replaced with revenge. Revenge isn't necessarily something you want. It's something you just have to do. I would get mine. I called off work the next day, seeing I had to change our checking and savings accounts. I called most of the credit card companies and canceled them. I kept two that were in my name only for any expenses I might incur. I'm a hard-nosed fucker and not afraid to admit it. That's just the way it is. Rachel's dad called and asked what the problem was between me and Rachel. I got pissed and said, "What the fuck is the matter with you? Don't tell me you didn't have the balls to ask your own daughter. Well, George, I caught your precious slut of a daughter fucking one of her friends in our bed. I'm not the forgiving kind and threw her ass out. She had a chance to take whatever she wanted and I'm not giving her another damn dime. If she wants to go to court and bring out the dirty laundry, that's fine with me. Otherwise, leave me the fuck alone." Then I just hung up the phone. 2 days later, Karen, who is Rachel's younger sister, called me and asked if I would talk to her for a few minutes. I told her go ahead and talk, that I was listening. She started out saying how Rachel was so sorry, until I cut her off. "I don't care a flying fuck how sorry Rachel is. Do you have anything else to say? If you say the name Rachel again, I'll hang up. Your slut of a sister doesn't exist in my life anymore." Karen asked if there were any more personal items that belonged to her sister left at the house. I just told her that her sister had an hour to take all she wanted with her. If she forgot something, then that was too damn bad. Karen mentioned a few items. I was starting to get pissed again. So I responded in the only way I knew. "Karen, I'll tell you what. You come over here and fuck me on my bed and I'll let you take whatever else you want for your precious sister." She screamed back. "You sorry son of a bitch, how dare you to talk to me like that? Wait until I tell my husband and you can deal with him. Does that mean I'm not going to get a chance to fuck you? I always thought you'd be a pretty good fuck. Well then send that sorry excuse for a husband over here. Maybe I'll just fuck him in the ass." I wasn't afraid of the wimp. He was just a yes person to his wife. I had no doubts I'd ever see him at my door. I could hear someone in the background on the phone. I knew it was Rachel. Karen must have handed her the phone. All I heard was, "Kevin, you son of a—" Then I just hung up the phone. I contacted my lawyer and had him fill out the necessary papers, giving Rachel nothing. We were renting the house, we each had our own car. Other than that, I just kept the savings accounts. Rachel never fought the divorce. I let it be known that I would talk to no one in the family except Karen, and that was only if she met my demands. Damn, I was a hard ass. Karen was a looker. She was a little better looking gal than her sister Rachel. Both were good looking women, but Karen was a few years younger and probably ridden a lot less considering her wimp of a husband. I was getting ready to move out of the house and the divorce was already final. I called Karen on the phone and asked if she wanted to get a few personal items of her sister's. That I was moving to an apartment and didn't want to haul her shit around. If she didn't come and get it, I would just throw it all out. She quickly said yes, she would come and get the items that evening. I told her to either come alone or bring that sorry excuse for a husband with her. Under no circumstances was Rachel to be at my door. When Karen arrived at my door that evening, she was alone. I asked about her husband, but she said he was busy. I knew the truth was that he was afraid and she knew I was going to fuck her. When she came into the house, we walked into the bedroom where I had her sister's stuff packed. She reached down for one of the boxes when I said, "Hold it. You haven't paid for it yet." She looked at me and said, "You can't be serious? I'm not going to make love to you." I laughed. "No, not love, just plain raw sex. You've been thinking about this for a long time." Then I grabbed her as she beat on my chest. I said, "Give it up, Karen, you're not fooling anyone. There's only you and me here." Then I kissed her and grabbed her by her pussy. I slid my hand down her leg and under her skirt and brought my hand back up her thighs. She didn't have any panties on. I grabbed her mound. Hot and moist was the only way to explain it. She took her hands off from around my neck and I pushed her down on the bed. "Tell me what you want, Karen. Tell me you want me to fuck your married pussy. Come on, Karen, say it." As I began by shoving two fingers in her wet moist cunt. Damn, she was hot, she was really hot. "Please fuck me, Kevin, I want you to fuck me. Fuck my married pussy. Please wear a condom, Kevin, that's all I ask. Fuck you, slut, you're just like your sister. You want that cream to hit the inner walls of your cunt. I'll fuck you good but no protection and you will receive the full load. Well, Karen, what will it be?" By this time she was hot. I had my stiff cock out just rubbing it up and down against her cunt. I even dipped it in a couple of times. I could hear her squealing. "Any way at all, Kevin, just push it in, God I want it." I began a slow but hard methodical motion. I said, "Talk to me, Karen. I love dirty talk. Is it good? Do you want more of it? Come on, talk to me. Oh God, this feels so good. Yes, I want more, please shove your cock into me. Just fuck me, Kevin, just plow your way into my wet pussy. God, I'm going to come more, give it to me, come in me, do it now, I want to feel your cum shooting deep inside of me. Ah shit, yes, 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 now." I blew my fucking load as deep in her as possible. I took some of my revenge out on her sorry ass pussy, but damn, it felt good. When I finished squirting my load, I took my slimy rod out of her and wiped it on her skirt. I then got off of her and zipped up my pants. I looked at her, another man's wife laying there, her legs spread and my juices just dripping out of her. I walked over and picked up a couple of her sister's boxes of stuff and headed out to her car. When I came back in, she started yelling at me. "You son of a bitch, you just used me for your pleasure. How can you be so cold, so callous? What has happened to you? Where is the fun-loving Kevin that was once here? He died. Your sister killed him. She did to me what I just did to your husband. I made him a cuckold, a wimp. You got what you wanted, just like your sister. Now take her stuff and get the fuck out of my house. Don't forget to show your husband your pussy when you get home. He is probably wimp enough to stay with you. By the way, I don't want any more of your slimy ass pussy. I can't stand a cheating wife. You have all your sister's stuff, so there should be no reason for you to come back. She called me a bastard, grabbed the last box of stuff and left my house. She was a damn good fuck, but I knew that I just wanted her for revenge on her sister. Fucking can never take the place of love. It just can't. I'm not saying fucking a strange piece of meat is bad. I'm saying it can't be put at the same category as love. It seems to build up in you. It's all you think about. Revenge, get even, make the perpetrators pay for their act. That was my goal. I knew it wouldn't solve my problems. I knew it, but it was just something I had to do. Right or wrong, I was going to extract my revenge. Her name was Carly, the good-looking petite gal I saw every day. Sometimes you get an urge, a feeling you can't get rid of. That's what I felt when I saw this gal almost every day. She would come into the restaurant with her girlfriends. They would all laugh and seem to enjoy their lives. One of the gals she ate lunch with was Marcia. I'd known her for years. We were friends but not real close. Kind of. Hi Marcia, how are you today? Type friends. Marcia knew about my divorce. In a small community, almost everyone you know has heard the rumors. One day when Marcia came in the restaurant alone at lunchtime, I asked her to join me for lunch. I wanted to talk to her. She sat down, a little suspicious. I told her it was just for lunch, that I got tired of always eating alone. We talked about her family and how the kids were. She told me about her husband's promotion and about things in general. She asked me about my life and how things were since the divorce. Everyone knew Rachel cheated on me, but no one knew with whom. If anyone ever had the balls to ask, I simply told them I didn't know who it was and it really didn't make any difference. I asked Marcia about the new girl in their office. She told me her name was Carly. She and her husband Jim had moved here about a year ago. When she said the name Jim, it just didn't sit right. Marcia looked at me and said, Kevin, Carly is a happily married woman. You're not going to make a play on her, are you? Everyone knew about my badass personality since the divorce. I told Marcia that I thought Carly was a fine-looking woman and just wondered who she was. She gave me more information on Jim, and then I had to find out if he was who I thought he was. If he was, there was no doubt in my mind that I was going to fuck Carly. I hated being like this, but I couldn't help it. One day at lunchtime, I was in a corner booth with a friend of mine having lunch. He had never asked me much about my personal life. He knew better, so we got along just fine. As we were eating, in came Carly and her husband. It was the son of a bitch that I caught fucking my wife. Damn, 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 I wanted to go back over and punch his lights out again, but I kept my cool. He never recognized me, seeing he only saw me for a few seconds while I beat the shit out of him. But unfortunately, I recognized him and set out to fuck his wife. One day when Carly was alone at the restaurant, I started talking to her. I introduced myself and mentioned that I was friends with Marcia. I wanted to put Carly at ease. She smiled and introduced herself. I asked her if she wanted to share a table. She looked a little nervous until I told her she would have to pay for her own lunch. That made her laugh as we sat down. She just talked up a storm telling me about herself and indicated that her husband Jim had transferred here a little over a year ago. She stated that they had kind of a rocky start here, that her husband was jumped by two men and they had stolen everything he owned. He had to drive to the emergency room and had stitches above his left eye. She said he was a mess when he got home. She mentioned he filed a police report but didn't have a good enough description and the police never caught the culprits. That explained why he never turned me in. After lunch, I told her it was so nice to meet her and that anytime she wanted to share a table, it was fine with me. Now I had a real problem. I liked Carly. I mean, I really liked her. I needed my revenge and at the same time did not want to hurt Carly. What to do, what to do? I would have to think on this. I saw her almost every day, most of the time with the other girls from her office. She always looked over at me and smiled. One day in passing, I told her I was going to start lunch an hour later, so I probably wouldn't have a chance to eat lunch with her again, but lo and behold, the next day she took her lunch an hour later and was alone. She came to my table and asked to join me. Of course I said yes, and we started having lunch almost every day together. We started to become good friends and I was starting to have strong feelings for her. One day I got up and said to her that I thought she was one of the most beautiful, nicest women I'd ever met. If she wasn't married, I would ask her out. She acted nervous and said, But I am married, Kevin. I might not have the best marriage, but I won't ever cheat on my husband. I couldn't. It's just not right. I had to ask her about that last statement. What is wrong with your marriage? She had tears in her eyes and said she thought her husband had been cheating on her, but she wasn't sure. I took her hand and just held it for a minute. She was shaking as I did my best to calm her down. I was wondering what kind of an asshole would give up a wonderful woman like this to just fuck around. What an idiot. Then I began to wonder if he was back with Rachel again. I looked at Carly and told her I had something very important to talk to her about, but I couldn't do it there, and asked if she would meet me after work. I needed her to trust me enough to go to my apartment where we could talk very privately. Kevin, I can't go to your apartment. What would that look like? What would people think? I just thought about Rachel for a second. Why couldn't she have been like this? Carly, it is extremely important that I talk to you. I care for you too much not to tell you what I know. Please meet with me. I think I trust you, Kevin. I do like you, but don't know you well enough to be alone in an apartment with you. Can we meet here and either talk in the car or in a restaurant? Okay, Carly, let's meet here after work. I'll even buy your dinner. She smiled at me and said, Boy, it must be important if you're willing to buy dinner. As she laughed, I had to get my thoughts in order. What would I say? How would I say it? I didn't want to take the chance of alienating Carly. I wanted her for my revenge, but now I also wanted her for me. Yes, old hard-nosed son of a bitch Kevin was falling for another man's wife. Damn it, it wasn't supposed to happen this way. I was just supposed to take her in front of her husband and then laugh at him. Why did it have to be her? Damn it. We met for dinner. She told me she had talked to Marge and was told about my divorce and how my wife was found by me having sex with another man. She said that it must have been awful seeing this in my own home. She stated how sorry she felt for me. She was so afraid of finding out the same kind of information on her husband, she didn't know how she would handle it if it happened to her. Carly, there's a few things I must tell you about me. I know you're married, but I'm falling in love with you. Please, Kevin, don't say anymore. I'm a married woman. Carly, it is imperative I tell you these things. I must tell you and you have to listen, please. As I said, I'm falling in love with you. My problem is I'm a hard-nosed bastard. Finding my wife and her lover together made me that way. I know you've heard people talk and say what a mean bastard I've become. I can't help it. I wish I could. I'm always walking around with a chip on my shoulder. My wife put that chip there along with her lover. My plan was revenge. I was going to find her lover's wife and fuck her in front of her husband. Yes, the son of a bitch was married also. Carly interrupted me. Please, Kevin, you don't need to tell me this. It's so personal and I know it hurts for you to talk about it. I hear it in your voice. Let me continue, please, Carly. As I said, I was going to get revenge on my wife's lover and fuck his wife in front of him. Now I have a big, big problem. The woman whom I was going to take by force if necessary is a woman I've fallen in love with. Carly put her hands over her face in shock. She knew the man was her husband and the woman I fell in love with was her. Carly had tears rolling down her face. My God, it's so hard to believe. How do you know? How can you be so sure? You were going to rape me for revenge against my husband? She was crying harder. I went to put my arms around her to comfort her, but she stopped me. Please don't touch me right now. She said. I need a moment to think. Carly, a year ago I found the man in my bedroom. I beat the shit out of him and threw him out of my house without any clothes. All I knew was that his name was Jim. I then pulled out the note from my pocket that Rachel had left me. For some strange reason I had kept it. I handed it to Carly to read. She cried as she read it. I watched you for the last 6 months coming down to the restaurant to eat lunch. Day by day I waited to see you. You were the only bright spot in my life and I didn't even know you. But I was slowly falling for you. I didn't know at the time you were married. I never approached you because I had temper problems and was still planning my revenge. Then one day I asked Marge about you. She told me you were married and I felt bad. I really wanted to get to know you better but I didn't want to ruin your marriage. Then another day your husband met you for lunch. That was when I knew who he was. I did everything in my power not to beat the shit out of him again. If you had been any other woman, I would have taken you in front of him by now. Just for the revenge. Carly was crying with her hands folded in front of her. I continued. I was falling in love with you and couldn't rape the woman I love. Now I'm in deep turmoil. I want to hurt your husband and not hurt you. I want to make love to you. It's been a long time since I made love. The last year has all been about revenge. I believe that your husband is back with Rachel since they were childhood sweethearts, and she is now divorced. How do you feel about me, Carly? I need to know so I know what to do. I promise regardless of your feelings for me I will not hurt you. I just couldn't do it now.
Chapter 02
The Setup. How do you feel about me, Carly? I need to know so I know what to do. I promise regardless of your feelings for me I will not hurt you. I just couldn't do it now. I know that I'm a prick, a bastard, and a vengeful person. I'm hard-nosed as hell but there is another side of me. One that hasn't seen the light of day for a year now. I want to show you that person. Please give me a chance to show you that side of me. I could be the kinder, gentler person for the right woman. For some reason deep inside of me I know you are that woman. There is a nice guy who wants to get out. Revenge is blocking his way. Help me, Carly, help me get my revenge on your husband. Then if you want we could build a real loving life together. My God, Kevin, so much at once. My mind is swimming with questions and right now I don't have any answers. I'm not even sure I know my feelings for you, my husband, or even for myself. I need to think about all you've told me before I can give you any kind of answers. Please understand that I'm not playing you or putting you off. I want to help you. You seem to be hurting so much inside, but I don't know, I just don't know. After a somewhat upsetting dinner, I walked Carly to her car. I told her I was sorry if I had upset her, but I thought she should know the truth. I would do whatever I could to work with her to solve both of our problems. This might have not been the right time to tell her of my growing feelings toward her, but I would explode if I didn't vent them to her. I just wanted her to know. She did let me give her a light hug before she left. So far I hadn't solved any problems, I think I just made everything worse. Maybe telling her about her husband's past wasn't the right thing to do. I have no idea what her thoughts were. I just hope everything turned out good for her. The next day I couldn't wait to see her at lunch. I had to know her feeling and thoughts. I went to the restaurant where we usually ate. I waited for her, but she never showed up. My God, what did I do? Did she have it out with her husband? Did he try to hurt her? If he did, I'd kill the son of a bitch. Maybe she went the other way and just told him about me and who I was. God, her not showing up had me worried. I didn't know if I should try calling her house or just wait one more day. I had a hard time finishing my work day. I did my best to get my mind off Carly. When I got home, my phone rang. It was Carly. She sounded distraught. Kevin, I have to see you. I know I said I shouldn't come to your place, but things have changed. I want to make that I have to see you tonight. Can I stop by, please? My God, Carly, I was so worried about you. I had such a hard time today after not seeing you at lunch. Did that bastard hurt you? If he did, I'll kill the son of a bitch. Yes, come over right now. I'll be here waiting for you. As I hung up the phone, the doorbell rang. Who could that be, I wondered. I opened the door, and there stood Carly grinning at me. I followed you home but needed to know if you were just blowing smoke or were really wanting to help me. When you answered the phone the way you did, I knew you were being honest with me. I'm sorry for the little test, but I had to be sure. God, I was so glad to see her. I gave her a big hug and she felt so good. I asked, why didn't you go to work today? She told me. Last night I spent the whole evening trying to get my mind straight. Jim, my husband, came home late. He used his usual excuse of working late. I tried to be a little lovey-dovey with him, but he wanted no part of it. He said he was tired and was going to bed. I thought to myself, if a man refused to have sex with a woman like Carly, either he had just gotten his rocks off or was brain dead, Carly said. I waited for Jim to leave for work this morning, and then I thought I would do some detective work. I started going through the computer files looking for hidden files or letters that didn't belong. I work on the computer at my job, so I know my way around them pretty good. Because of the information you gave me, I was able to trace a few files. Here's what I found. She handed me all kinds of information. She said she would explain it to me so I wouldn't have to read all the detailed information. She looked at me and said, first, I have to tell you, I don't love Jim anymore. After all the information I found out about him, I think I despise him. I don't like being used, and that's one of my possible problems with you. I grabbed her hands and held them. Then she said, I'm not sure how I feel about you. One side of me really cares for you. But the other side of me says, watch it. He just wants to use you for his revenge and then drop you like a hot potato. So for now, I want to keep our relationship on a wait and see mode. If you care for me like you say, you will wait till our lives become clearer, then we can proceed from there. What do you say? I smiled at her and said, that's all I ask for is a chance to prove myself. I really do care for you, and if I start moving too fast, please just tell me to slow down. Can we seal our deal with a kiss before we get started on your detective work? She smiled at me with a big silly grin and said, no, now let's get started. My husband applied for this job here. He wasn't just transferred like he told me. He asked to be transferred. That was his first lie. This was his old hometown where he grew up. I didn't think much about it at the time. I just thought that he was like a lot of people and just wanted to move back to their old stomping grounds. I loved him, so I agreed to the move. He went to his class reunion about 16 months ago. Did your ex-wife go to it, and if she did you go also? I had a family engagement at the time. It was my mom's birthday, so I went there instead. He told me the old class reunions are usually boring anyway. Come to think of it, my wife did have a class reunion. I had an out-of-town business trip that weekend. I asked her if she wanted to go with me, but she said she would like to go see all her old friends. I never thought anything about it till now. Damn, you are a pretty good private investigator. Here's a copy of some of the emails between them just before the reunion. Not love letters, but they definitely were expecting to see each other. Now here are a couple of emails after the reunion. As you can see, or at least read that when you caught them having sex around 4 months later, that it wasn't their first time meeting up and having sex. They had been doing it for 4 months already. I got pissed, that fucking slut. Telling me, oh honey, it's not what you think. It just happened. I thought my revenge against her was over since we weren't married anymore, that I was only going to get revenge on Jim, but now things had changed. Carly could see the hurt and meanness in my eyes. I told Carly that I wasn't mad at her at all, but being made a cuckold by my ex-wife really pissed me off. Then I looked over at Carly and said, I really need to be kissed right now to calm me down, or I'm going to have to run my fist through the wall. I stood up and walked toward the wall. Stop, you idiot, I'll kiss you, I'll kiss you. She screamed. She got up and came up to me. She put her arms around me and kissed me really gently for a few seconds. When our lips separated, I looked into her eyes and slowly pressed my lips to hers again with a little more feeling. As we separated the second time, she said, that's enough, Tiger. I'm only human too. As we sat back down, I thanked her. She looked at me and said, my pleasure, and I really mean pleasure. Now let's get back to work. I can't be here all night. We both laughed as we thought the same thing. Here are copies of my husband's cell phone records for the past year or so. As you can see, this number is called almost daily. I called the phone company and it belongs to a Rachel Miller. That's my wife's maiden name. I didn't even know she took it back. Also, I never knew she had a cell phone. When was it purchased? According to my husband's phone records to that number, it must have been about a month before he was beaten up by a couple of thugs named Kevin. She was smiling. That means she had the phone before you caught them. That could explain why they got away with it for so long, and also why she didn't fight for more money during the divorce. Some of this might have come out and wouldn't have helped her case. What about you, Carly? Where do you stand in all this? For me right now, it's mostly pride, but you're still married to the bastard. What do you want us to do? She looked at me knowing I said the word. Us instead of you? I want to take him for everything we have. I want to make him sorry he ever did this to me. I want to embarrass him in public. How do I do all this without becoming a slut or a whore? I want to keep my pride and hopefully you. Carly, do you think you can live in the same house for a couple of weeks without giving anything away? No problem, I just don't want to have sex with him. Other than that, I don't have any problem making a dinner or two. If he continues to see his girlfriend regularly, I should be alright. Well, Carly, to begin with, you need to go shopping. We can go during lunch if you like. Make sure you use joint credit cards in both your names. We don't want you to get in trouble using cards in his name only. Buy yourself everything you always wanted. Run up as much debt as you can. Take some cash advances and put the money in a savings account or buy bonds or stock. Kevin, aren't you a stockbroker? Why aren't you doing the investing for me? I didn't want you to have any doubts about me. I really care for you and want you to trust me. I can invest the money for you if you like. I just want you to know that I don't want any of it. I'm here to help you. If you decide to make love to me at some point, that will be the revenge for me. We figured that the credit cards were going to be our starting point. As she got up to leave, I asked her if I get any more kisses tonight. She put her arms around me and opened her mouth slightly and kissed me. I was feeling like a teenager and pulled her body into my growing erection. She pressed her pelvic area against me. Then she pulled away saying, "Damn, you're good. See you at lunch tomorrow." She smiled and got into her car. The next day, instead of eating lunch, we went to a couple of banks. Using her joint credit cards, she took thousands of dollars as cash advances. That would give her a month to make all her transfers before the credit card bills came due. She was smart. She didn't max out any cards, just in case he was to use any of them. She did find out he was charging a motel room twice a week on one of the cards. We did the bank thing for 3 days using 7 different charge cards. I took the checks and invested all the money for her. I used tax-free government bonds and other accounts that would be hard to get the money out of. Carly had me put the accounts in my name so her husband wouldn't be able to get any of the money. I did make her a co-signer of the accounts so I couldn't take any money without her signature. The co-signer was my idea. I wanted her to feel safe about the investments and about me. I started to check out the latest on my ex. I couldn't find much. I gave Carly whatever information I could about her, and she ran with it. She said that Rachel was now working for the same company as her husband. Rachel was one of the company secretaries. Carly used her connections and found out where they spent their time when not at work. They were getting sloppy. Since they had been cheating for so long, they didn't think anyone noticed. Carly had her girlfriends start taking pictures and notes on whatever was happening. I found out everyone loved Carly. All the other secretaries respected her. Whenever they had a computer problem, they called her. I found out she was literally a computer geek without the geek look. She went from office to office helping all the secretaries with their computer problems. They never felt belittled or were made fun of because Carly would always take the time to explain the procedures to them. They all felt protective of her. I didn't know about my revenge. How was I going to do it? I couldn't rape Carly, not now that she was the only good thing in my life. My ex-wife was out of my life, but I wouldn't mind getting a little revenge on her since this was a long-running affair before our divorce. But how and what could I do? Without Carly's help, I wasn't sure I could pull it off. Carly had told me she couldn't just have sex with me right now. If she did, she wouldn't be any better than my cheating wife or her husband. She did care for me but was still a married woman. I needed a plan. What to do, what to do? As I told you, I was a badass and have been for a year. I worked out and kept myself in good physical shape. I had to. I've been around a lot of friends that were of a questionable nature. To be frank about them, they were pimps and prostitutes. I was their investment broker. Together we made a lot of money. They made the bucks and I invested it for them. Yes, I did make it with a few of the hookers. Believe it or not, some of them were really nice people. Of course, others weren't so nice. Luckily, I knew which were which. They really were good to have as friends. They brought a lot of business my way, just because I didn't belittle them. I might not have agreed with their lifestyle, but they were people too. I gave one of my pimp friends a call and asked him for a favor. When I got done explaining it to him, he laughed out loud and said, "Man, you are one bad motherfucker. You know it's going to cost you, no freebies in this world." I told him, "No problem, Big Louie, as long as it's done right. There might even be a bonus in it for you." Good deal, my plan is finally starting to come together. Carly and I got together one evening to plan our sting operation. She was worried that I might still want to take her in public, and it was against everything she believed in. She really was a special woman of good character. I promised her with God as my witness that I would never hurt or embarrass her in any way. She just gave me her patented smile that could melt ice and said, "I think I'm falling for you big time. Just thought you should know." I asked her to take the next couple of days off as vacation, sick days or leave. It didn't make any difference except we only had a couple days to set up this sting operation. It had to work like clockwork to succeed. "Well, what's the plan, Kevin? How are you going to get revenge and not use me? What do you need me to do? First, stop asking so many questions." As I smiled at her. "Now, next Wednesday you say they have room 109 booked. Is that correct?" "Yes, they have it reserved until 10 in the evening. They seem to always reserve the same room and always for about 5 hours. Not the best of motels, but they need to rent it by the hour. Funny, the way Jim made love to me, he could have rented it for 15 minutes and saved a lot of money. Okay, now tomorrow I'm going to reserve the same room for Wednesday morning. I am going to be setting up a remote-operated VCR. While I'm doing that, you need to go see my lawyer. Sally Hawk is the best damn, take no prisoners lawyer out there. Here's what you want written up. It's going to be your divorce decree, stating that you want a divorce under these circumstances. Then Wednesday night you will have to get Jim's signature on it. How do you know he'll sign it, Kevin? What if he says no? What will I do? Don't worry, Carly, I'm almost positive he'll sign it. The consequences are too great. Do you want me to tell you the whole plan, or do you want to wait and be surprised? My God, Kevin, you're making me a nervous wreck. I don't think I could wait to find out anything. You seem so excited and it's rubbing off on me. The only thing I want rubbing on you is me. You're so very special to me that I want you as much as this revenge. We will get the revenge. It's for both of us. Then I just hope you feel the same about me as I do about you. Then my revenge will be complete. Are we going to completely ruin their lives, Kevin? I don't feel real good about that. I just kind of want to get even. We are going to put their lives in turmoil, but their lives will go on. Unless they are foolish enough not to sign your divorce papers. Okay, sweetheart, here's the plan. They usually meet between 5-6 o'clock. Since Jim usually gets there about a half hour before Rachel, we are going to do a job on him. I have my friend, Big Louie, stopping by to pay Jim a visit. He will have Sally and Sue with him. They are prostitutes who are not working at the present due to a bad case of syphilis. I'm paying them to have unprotected sex with Jim. Both of them. Big Louie is there to make sure he takes care of his women. The last thing that Jim would want to do is cross Big Louie. How do you know these people, Kevin? They're my clients. They bring in a lot of money and I help them invest it. Of course, when Rachel shows up, she can have a choice. Fuck her lover Jim, or Big Louie will get his rocks off. Now during all these sex acts, you and I will be sitting in the van running the remote control. Then when the time is right, you will walk in, catch them in the act and ask for a divorce. Then you will walk over to the closet and give Jim a choice. Sign the divorce papers or you will leave with the tape, and you will send a copy to his employers and to the company's home office. The choice is his. Then after his choice is made, you come back to the van. Big Louie will be there to protect you from any harm. He will not leave until after you go. Well, what do you think, Carly? Is it a go? She smiled at me and said, you're doing this more for me than for yourself, aren't you? God, you know there is another side of you and I'm beginning to like it very much. It's a go. Over the next couple of days we set everything up. Carly saw Sally Hawk, our lawyer, who said she wanted to be there herself to serve Jim with the divorce papers. There was no doubt she would have his signature on the legal document. She was the most well-known divorce lawyer in the state. Sally said that this was such a cool plan and that we have sent her a lot of business over the years. She was a good friend and just wanted to be in on a sting. Big Louie was ready. We paid him in advance and told him he'd get an extra $500 if all went well. He just smiled and said, no problem. I went over to the motel and rented the room for the afternoon on Wednesday. The desk clerk said I had to be out by 4 p.m. because this room was already rented. I met up with Carly and we went to a really nice restaurant to have lunch. Lo and behold, there was my ex-sister-in-law having lunch with some guy who wasn't her husband. I told Carly who it was and she asked if it would hurt our plans any. I told her that the man with Karen was not her husband, and seeing she didn't know Carly, we could enjoy our lunch. When Karen saw me, she was horrified. Caught in the act, so to speak. I could see she was extremely nervous and was wondering who I was with. Carly looked great, boobs sticking out, no bra, her skirt about 4 inches above her knee. Carly caught on real quick. She moved into the seat next to me instead of across from me. She then turned my face toward her and kissed me. She put everything into that kiss. Not only was Karen watching, but so was everyone who could see us. Carly pulled back and smiled, saying, think that got anyone's attention? Then she kissed my open mouth again. She stopped when the waiter was making some strange noises. I looked at the waiter and said, she is one beautiful woman, isn't she? He replied, yes, she is, sir. She belongs to me, don't you, sweetheart? As I looked at her. Only you, baby. I belong only to you. She smiled. God, I hoped it was true, but I knew she was putting on the show so my ex-sister-in-law would have something to say to Rachel. Karen never did come over to see us. Geez, I wonder why. Carly and I finished up our lunch and then headed out the door. We went to the electronics store and picked up the equipment we needed. As we were checking out, she said the kiss in the restaurant was for real. She said she meant it even though she did do it to spite my ex-sister-in-law. Wednesday morning came. Carly and I were both on edge. Any sting operation puts the nerves on edge. Every detail had to be timed and done right. Not much room for error. Carly met with Sally to make sure the divorce papers were in order. I went to the motel room and set up the video equipment. I parked the rented van just around the side of the building so it wouldn't be conspicuous that evening. I went with Carly to see Big Louie. When he saw Carly, he about shit himself. Geez, man, who's the baby doll? He asked. I looked at him and introduced Carly. I know she was nervous, but Big Louie had a tendency to affect people that way, standing about 6 feet 6 inches and weighing in at about 320 pounds, blacker than the ace of spades, but he was a really smart guy. He had a master's degree in business. His net worth was in the millions. I know because I was his finance broker. He could see she was nervous and told her, don't worry, little lady. No one's going to hurt you. Kevin's my friend and I respect the man. I'll see to it you're protected. No one is going to hurt you. She felt a little better and thanked him for his kindness. Louis said he and his girls would show up around 5:15 p.m. He wanted to give Jim a few minutes to get organized. Earlier in the day, Carly applied some of her computer expertise. She sent an email to both Jim and Rachel saying the note was from the other. It read, "Sweetheart, I have a very special treat for you tonight. Please, when you arrive, don't ask any questions. I know you will be surprised. Just go along. Also, to make it extra special, let's not communicate the rest of this day. I want this to be a night that you will always remember. Love you, me." At 4:45 p.m., Carly and I got into our van and waited. At exactly 5 p.m. Jim arrived and went into the room.
Chapter 03
The Sting. It was now 4:45 p.m. Carly and I got into our van and waited. At exactly 5 p.m. Jim arrived and went into the room. We were very nervous. This was a big undertaking for us. At 5:15 p.m. we watched as Big Louie approached the room with Sally and Sue. As they knocked on the door, we turned on our cameras. We didn't want to start the tape until the action got underway. We had two cameras running, one from above the lights and the other from inside the smoke alarm. It was unbelievable the quality of picture from a pinhole camera. I had to remember to return tomorrow and retrieve my cameras. Carly and I were nervous as hell as Big Louie knocked on the door. As he opened the door, we heard Jim say, "Who are you?" Louie explained. "I was paid to bring two of my women to this room for some sexual excitement," Jim said. "There must be some mistake." Then Louie asked, "Do you have a problem having fun with my ladies, buddy? Are you Jim Nelson?" Jim replied he was but didn't expect company. Louie told him that they were paid in advance to come to that room and have sex with the occupants. Louie told him they weren't a charity and were not returning any money. Then he pushed his way in and told his girls to help Jim off with his clothes. We started the tapes. Jim was nervous, you could see it on the tape. He thought this was the surprise that Rachel had for him since he had gotten the email earlier, so he went along and removed his clothes. A little information about Sally and Sue. Sally was black and Sue was Caucasian. They really were good-looking women even though they were hookers. They were good at what they did. Of course, the only problem was at that time they had syphilis, and it could be passed along very easily through sexual contact. These gals had Jim lying naked on the bed and were rubbing his body all over. Big Louie just sat back in a big chair and watched. The girls were good. They had Jim hard in no time. That's when Sally, who by then was naked, climbed on Jim, who was laying on his back, and lowered herself onto his hard cock while Sue held it to guide it into Sally. Carly was watching through our remote. She was both sad and glad at the same time. Sad that her husband of 5 years chose to cheat on her, while at the same time glad that her revenge had started. Jim was already wanting to shoot his load in Sally's unprotected pussy, but these gals were pros. Sue grabbed his sack and did something to him until his need to shoot his load disappeared while still keeping his rod hard. We could see Sally's juices dripping down out of her cunt and onto Jim's pelvic area. It would have been extremely erotic if you didn't know that Sally was coating him with syphilis. There was a knock on the door, and Big Louie opened it to see Rachel standing there. He told her to come in. She asked what was going on when she saw her boyfriend Jim laying on the bed with a black woman riding his extended cock. As she entered the room, she didn't know what to think. All she knew was that Jim had sent her an email saying something special was going to happen that night. As she entered the room, Big Louie told her to disrobe. She was scared, looking at this big black man telling her what to do. He told her he had no intention of touching her. He was just there to protect his girls. Sue looked at Rachel and told her that they didn't have all night and to hurry and get her clothes off. Jim just lay on his back while Sally continued to ride him. Not knowing exactly what to do, Rachel started to disrobe. Sue, who had only her bra and panties on, helped strip Rachel of her clothes. Sue sat Rachel on the end of the bed, then got in front of her and planted her mouth onto Rachel's pussy. Rachel screamed out. She has never had any kind of sex with another woman. She thought this was Jim's plan for her, so she let it happen. Once Sue had gotten Rachel's pussy hot and wet, she laid her on her back and removed the rest of her own clothes. With Rachel laying next to Jim, who was in sexual Never Never Land, Sue lay on the bed in the opposite direction and pushed her pussy up against Rachel's. They interlocked their legs and pushed wet mound against wet mound. It was erotic as hell to watch, except for knowing that Sue's pussy was loaded with syphilis. Later, Sally and Sue changed places. Then it was Sue riding Jim as Sally put her black pussy tightly against Rachel's white cunt. The pink from both cunts were pressed close to one another. All of a sudden, Rachel screamed out in orgasm. She kept screaming that she wanted more as their juices mixed. Sue was holding Jim's sack again, not letting him come. He begged her. "Please let me come, please," Sue told him. "You can stick your rod into your mate and come in her when we leave." The cameras were catching everything. The sound and the video. Both Jim and Rachel were in sexual heaven. As Rachel came down from her high, Sally got off the bed and started to get dressed. Sue pulled up off of Jim's still hard rod. Whatever they did stopped him from coming. He wanted sexual release. While Sally and Sue got dressed and were leaving, Jim rolled over and stuffed his stiff cock into Rachel's waiting pussy. There was a knock on our van door. It was Sally Hawk, our lawyer. She asked how it was going and then glanced at the monitor. Jim was pounding Rachel for all he was worth, both pushing their venereal disease into the other. The hookers Sally and Sue were back in their vehicle waiting for Big Louie. They did their job well. Big Louie waited outside the door to protect Carly and Sally Hawk in case they needed him. Both Carly and Sally approached the door. Carly was first to enter the room. "You goddamn son of a bitch. You worthless piece of shit. You goddamn cheating cocksucker." Carly used every swear word she ever learned. "I want a divorce and I want it now." Jim and Rachel stopped fucking to see Carly in the doorway yelling at them. They knew they were caught red-handed. There was no way they could explain their way out of this one. Carly continued to speak. "Why, Jim, why wasn't I good enough for you that you hooked up with this slut? I knew you were having an affair. I had hoped you would have gotten it out of your system, but no, you continued and continued it. I have had enough. I want a divorce and I want it as soon as possible." Then Sally Hawk walked in. "Jim, this is my lawyer, Sally Hawk. She will tell you the terms of the divorce decree. I expect to get the divorce started tonight so I can have you out of my life as soon as possible and you can have your slut girlfriend." Both Jim and Rachel got out of the bed and started getting dressed. Jim's cock had gone soft the minute he heard Carly's voice. He never did get his rocks off. Also, they never had time to take a shower, so the venereal disease was probably starting to set in. "I'm Sally Hawk, Carly's lawyer. The terms of the divorce are very simple and very clear. 1. Carly will go home tonight, and will have 24 hours to gather whatever belongings she wants. You will not be there tonight. After 24 hours, she will never return to the premises. It's an apartment rental in your name, so you can have it. 2. You will be responsible for all bills due before today's date. That includes all credit cards that are held in your name or held jointly by both of you. Carly will give you all joint cards tonight, and she will never use them again. She will be responsible for any cards in her name only. 3. You each have your own car, and each will be responsible for your own vehicle's insurance and payment as well as upkeep. 4. Lastly, your savings account with a balance of $8,000 will go to Carly. She will withdraw the money from the account tomorrow. You have a 401k that has over $80,000 in it. Carly's has one with $15,000 in it. You will both be able to keep your own 401ks. If you agree to these terms, you will have to sign the decree tonight. It is irrevocable. Neither of you will be able to make any changes after it is signed. Carly has already signed it. Just sign it on the line that says husband." Sally handed him the document to look over and sign. Rachel sat there and looked on. Jim said, "What if I don't sign it tonight? What are you going to do?" Sally said, "That document you are holding will be voided in 5 minutes when I leave. Then we will go to court and ask for the same benefits, except we will make sure we get half of your 401k also. This is a good deal for you. I would advise you to take it." Carly walked over to the closet, opened it, and popped out the VCR tape. "This is a tape of tonight's events. It will become part of our divorce case." Jim said, "I'm not that stupid. You can't use that tape. You took it without permission." Sally started laughing. "You really are a dumb fuck. We won't use it in the divorce, but we'll make copies and send it to your company and to your company's home office. I'm sure they don't approve of their married employees having affairs." Jim took a couple of steps toward them when Big Louie re-entered the room. "You weren't going to hurt my friends, were you, Jim?" Jim backed off. "Well, Jim, you now have 3 minutes to make up your mind and then we will be out of here," Sally stated. Rachel turned to Jim and in almost a whisper said, "Jim, Sally Hawk was my husband's lawyer and I didn't get a damn dime. She's said to be one of the best in the state. You better take that offer or you will be up the creek in a boat without a paddle. Besides, we'll lose our jobs if that tape gets in the wrong hands." Sally looked at Jim. "One minute, and we are out of here. See you in court." As they turned to leave, Jim yelled, "Wait. I'll sign it, but only if I get the tape." Carly looked at Big Louie and handed him the tape. "After Sally and I walk out of here, you can hand this tape to the prick." She also handed him an envelope with the promised bonus of $500. Sally repeated what she had said earlier. "This document is irrevocable. If you have any questions, you must contact me. You are not to bother Carly in any way, or I will have you arrested and put in jail. If you understand all I have said, then sign the document, and I'll give you a copy along with the tape and joint credit cards. Remember, Carly has 24 hours to take whatever she wants out of the apartment. Your divorce is considered a no-fault divorce and should go through within 2 months. Jim signed the papers and Sally gave him a copy. Then Carly and Sally both walked out the door. Shortly after, we saw Big Louie hand the tape to Jim, and then he walked out and joined his girls. Carly and Sally got back in the van with big grins on their faces. Carly gave me a quick kiss. Everyone seemed so happy until I heard what Sally had to say. "Kevin, until the divorce is final, you cannot see Carly. We can't have anyone seeing the two of you together. As long as you two aren't linked, then everything should go as planned. I know that we are going to face some battles with the credit card money being taken out in the last 2 weeks. But our documents are on our side unless someone feels Carly is trying to defraud the banks. That is why I let Jim have his 401k. There is enough money there that the banks can go after Jim if he tries to file bankruptcy. There also is no money out there with Carly's name on it. Only the $8,000 she is to take out tomorrow. I suggest you just keep it in the same bank, but only in your name. That will lessen any bank questions," Sally continued. "After the divorce, there should be no more problems, and the two of you can hook up if you choose. That will be up to you. Kevin, you told me that your employer asked you to go to another state and set up a brokerage firm for a couple of months. I would advise you to take it as soon as possible. Carly will be all right. I will be here to keep my eye on her. I hate to say it, but right now you are the biggest problem Carly has. Of course I can't force you to do anything, but I highly advise it. Carly was crying, so I just held her. I knew what Sally had said was true. I was the only problem right now. The only weak link in the chain. I kissed Carly goodbye and told her to contact me after the divorce. I would wait for her. Sally and Carly got out of the van. Sally drove Carly home so she could get whatever items she wanted. They had picked up a U-Haul earlier in the day so Carly could haul away whatever she wanted. Sally did say I could call her if I needed to talk or wanted to find out anything about Carly. After the girls had left, I checked back on the monitor and noticed that Jim and Rachel had left. I got out and went back into the room and gathered my equipment. I grabbed my extra copy of the tape just in case we needed it for future use. Funny, no one ever questions if there's a second copy. Two cameras, two recording machines. I gathered it all up and headed for home. I was really happy for Carly and sad for me. The next day I went in and talked to my boss. I talked to him about the temporary job. I would be leaving for Chicago on Friday. I just hoped everything worked out for Carly. She truly was a wonderful person. It looked like she got her revenge. I was the only one left out in the cold. It was fun helping out Carly. I really did love her. When I arrived in Chicago, I threw myself into my work. We were starting a new brokerage firm and we were starting from scratch. If I wasn't working, I was in my room sulking about Carly. Over the first couple of weeks, I kept wondering if Carly was alright. One day I called Sally Hawk. She was glad to hear from me. She said everything was going fine. Just like they expected, Jim got a lawyer and wanted to fight the decree. His lawyer told him he was barking up the wrong tree, and if he wanted to go head to head against Sally, he better get a new lawyer. Jim was throwing around accusations about Carly. He said she set him up, but when it came to proof, he didn't have any. Sally said she told Jim if he was going to continue accusing Carly of anything that she would take him to court. She was fed up with his whining. Sally also told me that Jim's lawyer mentioned that both Jim and Rachel had acquired syphilis. They had to go on a regimen of shots and couldn't have sex till it cleared up. Otherwise, they could acquire a new strain from each other. That brought a smile to my face. Finally, Sally said that Carly moved into a nice apartment near her work. She took about half of the stuff from the old apartment to set up her new one. She was told not to talk about me for fear of someone connecting us. Of course, she wasn't dating, but it had only been a couple of weeks so far. Sally did say when she was talking one-on-one to Carly that she really missed me and that I was a really nice guy. I would like to say that time flew by while I was in Chicago, but it didn't. I really didn't feel a whole lot better than I did before all this revenge stuff started. At least then I was able to see Carly walk by every day. I went up to Michigan to visit my parents for Thanksgiving. I had to get away for a few days. It was nice to see family. I took my sister Christmas shopping and bought all my family members something. I stopped by a jewelry store and picked up an engagement and wedding ring for Carly, hoping that someday she would say yes. After the Thanksgiving holiday, I headed back to Chicago. I figured I'd be there about 3 more weeks. Being cold, windy, and lonely was all I could think about in Chicago. The city lights looked beautiful, but not when I didn't have someone to share it with. We, that's me and the new agents, got the business off the ground floor. It was doing rather well. A lot of customers, clients if you will, came in to start investing money before the end of the year. As I arrived back in Ohio, I was greeted by my boss. He complimented me on the achievements of the new firm. From a work perspective, everything was great. I just hoped my personal life would be good as well. As soon as I got back to my apartment, which was 2 days before Christmas, I called Sally Hawk. I didn't even have a number for Carly since she moved. Sally was so glad to hear from me. She asked about the business, and I told her it went well. I asked her about Carly and how the divorce was coming along. She hesitated before telling me that the divorce was final 2 days before. I asked her for Carly's phone number. She said she wasn't allowed to give it to me, but she would call Carly and let her know I was back in town. I thanked her, and she wished me good luck. I wasn't quite sure how to feel. Carly was now divorced. I had no idea what her thoughts had been over the last few months since I left for Chicago. I had the bright idea of going over to our favorite restaurant where we met for lunch each day. I went there hoping to see her. My friend Marcia saw me and waved to me. I asked her to join me. Maybe I could learn a little something. Marcia began saying how nice it was to see me again. She had heard that I was starting up a new agency for the company in Chicago. We did all the usual chit-chat and talked about the holidays that began tomorrow. She told me about her family and how nice everything was going. I asked her if Carly still worked for the company. Marcia said she did, but that she and her husband had recently gotten a divorce. It happened so quickly. She stated that Carly must have taken it pretty hard because she didn't seem quite as happy now. She refused dates and spent most of her time working. Marcia said she felt sorry for her, but it was just something she had to work out herself. Everyone still loved her and hoped she would someday find the right guy. She deserved more than a cheating husband who was caught with another woman. I asked Marcia if Carly was working today. She said she was, but got a call about an hour ago, and instead of eating lunch, she left for the afternoon. She wouldn't be back until the following week after Christmas. I wished Marcia a Merry Christmas and asked her to say hi to her family for me. Then I got up and went home. Nothing on the answering machine. I was beginning to get a little depressed when the phone rang. I jumped up to answer it, figuring it to be Carly, but it wasn't. It was another telemarketer wanting money. I just slammed the damn phone back down. I knew she had to call me about her investments. On second thought, she didn't have to. We had other agents who could have updated my files for clients while I was gone. The agents and I would share any new business that was assigned to my customer base. I could call the office and see if there was any action taken on any of Carly's accounts. I quickly rang the office, but I got voicemail. I looked up at the clock, surprised that it was 5:12 p.m. Damn. The offices would be closed till Monday for the holidays. I was in the dark here on a holiday weekend. All the offices were closed. Damn it. My emotions were starting to run amok. Did I have her or did I lose her? Damn it, I needed to know something. How was I supposed to make it through this weekend not knowing anything? The phone rang again. I ran to it and answered it. It was Sally, my lawyer. She had called to inform me that she was able to get the message that I was back to Carly. Also, she wanted to let me know that everything about the divorce was final. Jim couldn't file any more motions. He tried but lost them all. He had to cash in more than half his 401k to satisfy the bank credit card charges. I told Sally she was a real friend and was great to do business with. I thanked her for the information and wished her a Merry Christmas. There was a knock on the door. I opened it to find that it was Mary, my neighbor. She collected my mail and cleaned up my apartment for me while I was gone. I invited her in for a few minutes. She was a nice older woman who cleaned apartments to supplement her income. She usually cleaned mine about twice a week. She handed me my mail and gave me a tray of homemade cookies for the holidays. I asked her to wait a second because I had a gift for her also. I went in and gave her an envelope with three crisp $100 bills for Christmas. She smiled and thanked me, then she left. We needed more nice ladies like Mary in this world. She was a delightful person to be around. I was getting hungry, so I called the local pizza shop and ordered me a pizza. I asked for it to be delivered. I didn't want to go out anymore tonight. I asked them to stop by the grocery store and pick me up a 12-pack of Miller Lite beer as well. That's the nice part of living in a smaller city, the so-called hometown conveniences. I decided to turn on the TV to watch the latest news and wait for my pizza to arrive. A half hour later, the doorbell rang. I got up to get my pizza. When I opened the door, there stood Carly with a big smile on her face. I had tears growing in my eyes and said, "I thought you were the pizza guy." She smiled. "Sorry to disappoint you. No pizza, just me." I pulled her into the living room and I grabbed and hugged her. God, she always felt good. "I miss you, Carly, I miss you terribly. It's so good to see you again." She was getting ready to say something when the doorbell rang again. I opened it, and it was the pizza guy with my beer and pizza. I quickly paid him and closed the door. Then I turned back around to Carly. "Are you hungry? We got pizza and beer." As I held them both up in my hands, Carly looked at me and was still smiling. "You are really a funny guy, you know. I was all prepared with what I was going to say and I get here and I can't even think straight. I have to tell you a couple of things and then we can eat pizza while it's still hot. I know you hate cold pizza. Okay, big guy, I miss you also. In case you didn't hear it yet, I'm now a divorced woman. I just found out today that you were back. I didn't want to leave you a phone message. That would have been too tacky. I needed to talk to you in person. I left work early after Sally called me to let me know you were home. I went out to buy you kind of a Christmas present. You'll see it after we get done eating. It's not every day you splurge and buy me dinner. So let's eat." As I was getting us a couple of paper plates, I asked her what kind of a present was. She just smiled that ice-melting smile and said, "You'll see. Now eat your pizza and pass me a beer." She laughed. While we ate, we talked about her job and how well it was going. I told her about the agency we opened up and explained the details. Both of us skirted the big issues. They were to come shortly. After we had enough pizza, Carly looked at me and said, "Are you ready for your kind of a present now?" I smiled and said, "Yep, where it is." Carly held up a little sack about the size of a small lunch bag. "I'll be right back," she exclaimed. As she left the room, I put the pizza and beer on the counter and went into the drawer where I kept the ring I bought for her, took it out and slipped it into my pocket. She yelled from the bedroom, "Are you ready?" I yelled back, "I think so." When she walked in, she said, "I bought this kind of for you today. You get to unwrap it if you like." She was standing there in a lacy red silk bra and lacy red silk bikini panties. She even had a small lacy red silk bow in her hair. She looked at me and said, "I'm no longer a married woman anymore and I wouldn't be cheating on any husband now. If you want your present, we can go into the bedroom and you can unwrap it." I had tears streaming down my face. This is the woman I had wanted for over a year now, standing there offering herself to me. I looked at her and said, "On one condition." I reached into my pocket and pulled out the ring and said, "If you'll marry me." She started crying and ran up to me as I began to hug her soft, warm body. She screamed out, "Yes, I'll marry you, yes, 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 God, how I have grown to love you." I lifted her up into my arms and carried her into my bedroom. I laid her on the bed. What a beautiful, sexy sight, she was just lying there. I undressed down to my briefs. This was going to be our first time together. It has to be good, I knew it would be. I took my time as I gently kissed around her neck. Everything I was going to be doing from then on was going to be gentle, like making love to an angel. She raised her hands above her head as I started kissing down the crevice of her breasts. She smelled great. I think she said it was white diamonds. My God, she smelled so good. I wanted to devour her, but I promised to keep moving gently. I was kissing the mounds of her breasts as I unfastened the lacy silk bra. I held it to my nose, just for a second, taking in the intoxicating aroma. When I set the bra down, I engulfed her breasts, sucking on the nipples, going from one breast to the other. back and forth, as she lay there moaning with her eyes closed. I slid one hand down to her flat belly. I started rubbing it. She was so sexy. I moved my mouth down and began to gently kiss and lick her belly. I could feel her intake of breath every time I applied pressure to her midsection. She was getting hot. I could smell her female odor rising from the valley below as I worked my way down. Carly wasn't saying anything, just kind of moaning and groaning. However, I could feel it in her body actions. I moved on down to her silk panty-covered mound. She just had a light tuft of hair, just enough to be sensuous. I pushed my face into her panties as I felt her push her pelvis up against my face. I heard a squeal of delight coming from her lips. She put her hands on the side of my head while she gently pushed her pelvis in an up and down motion against my waiting mouth. I got up and slowly finished unwrapping my present by taking the red silk panties and gently pulling them down and off her legs. I put them to my nose to smell her scent. I've never felt this way about a woman before. I heard about men that smelled panties and I always thought it was gross. Not this time, not with Carly. It was pure nectar. I buried my face in her vagina, yes, vagina. It was too good to just be called a pussy. Maybe next time it will be her pussy or her cunt, but this time it was her love tunnel, her vagina. She moved her hands down, and with her fingers she gently opened the folds of her labia. I stuck my tongue in her pink folds and sucked and pushed into her, getting all the nectar I could find. I climbed up and inserted my cock, dick, rod, torpedo, whatever you want to call it. I stuck it in her love tunnel and pushed it deep inside of her. I knew I wouldn't last long. I pushed it deep in her and held it there. I could feel her vaginal muscles squeezing me. Over and over again, I erupted buried deep inside her. She felt the spurts of my love juices coating her inside walls and screamed out, "Kevin, I love you so much." I've read about orgasms and love making like this, but this was the first time I had ever experienced it. I had to lay on her for a few seconds. I have never been drained like that in my entire life. I rolled off of her, and she cuddled close to me and we fell asleep. We must have slept quite a while. It was totally dark in the house and in the room when we woke up. It had been a long time for me since waking up next to a woman I wanted there. I had to get up and pee. I couldn't wait any longer. Carly got up while I was in the bathroom, and I think cleaned up the mess between her legs. I know women always say they hate that part. Carly went into my dresser drawers and got a long t-shirt to put on. The shirt never looked so good. Carly took a shower and cleaned up while I slipped the leftover pizza into the oven for a little bit. It always tasted better out of the oven. As we ate pizza, we talked some more. I asked Carly when she wanted to get married. She replied that she wanted it to be as soon as possible. She didn't want to wait. By then it was about 10 p.m. in the evening. I called Sally Hawk at her house. She answered by asking, "What's the matter, Kevin?" She must have had caller ID. I told her that Carly and I had a problem and maybe she could help solve it seeing she was a lawyer.
"What is it, Kevin?"
"I'll help if I can. Carly and I want to get married as soon as possible, but tomorrow is Christmas Eve and we need a judge to marry us.
Do you know anyone?"
Sally started laughing.
"So Carly called you, did she? I'm happy for the both of you.
Meet me at the courthouse tomorrow morning. We'll get your marriage license and then come to my house.
You see, Mr. Hawk, my husband is a judge. I know he'll marry you. See you tomorrow at 9 a.m. sharp."
The next morning, Carly, who was dressed beautifully, and I, dressed in a suit, met Sally at the recorder's office. We got our license and headed over to Sally's house to get married. Her husband seemed to be a pretty nice guy for a judge. You never know what to expect with lawyers and judges, but we knew Sally was the best. Carly didn't have much family left in the area. Just a few distant cousins. So we decided to head up to Michigan and surprise my family with my new wife. To say they were happy or overjoyed would be putting it mildly. Ecstatic would be a better word. They all loved Carly. How could they not? She was definitely part of the family. Wow, Christmas turned out pretty good after all. We had to head back after Christmas. We both had jobs and now had moving to do. We decided to live in my apartment. Hers was on a month-to-month lease anyway. Each day after work we would move some of her stuff over to my place. It was fun doing just about everything together. The girls where she worked were so happy for her. They said the old Carly was back. Marsha was a bit shocked when she found out I was the new husband, remembering that I was a badass and very vengeful. I remember Carly telling her,
"Don't worry, Marsha. He's a puppy and I love him dearly."
The big New Year's Eve bash was coming up. Most all of the successful business people from the area attended it. I asked Carly,
"Sweetheart, want to go to the bash of the year? Our first time that everyone can see us together. I want to show you off. Besides, our ex-spouses might even be there."
Carly was thinking, then looked at me and said,
"Kevin, I love you with all my heart, and I want everyone to know it. Yes, we will be going to the New Year's party, my dear husband."
I watched her starting to get ready. She took out her lacy red silk panties and bra that belonged to me kind of and said that she was going to wear them that night. My dick was already getting hard just thinking about her. She looked over at me and started laughing.
"What am I going to do with you? Doesn't it ever stop and take a break?"
Looking at the bulge in my pants.
"Not with you around."
I replied. She came over to the side of the bed and removed her panties and pulled the zipper down on my pants and pulled my hard penis out. She climbed up on my lap and lowered herself down on my stiff rod. She looked at me and said,
"Just a quickie, sweetheart, before I take a shower. Then no more until tonight."
She laughed. God, it felt good. How many wives do that kind of things for their husbands?
Carly was the greatest. I came within minutes. Damn, could she ever use those pussy muscles? She always milked me dry. Then I heard her scream out. I love to watch her reach an orgasm. Maybe it's a macho thing, but it makes me feel great when I can do that for her. As she came, she asked me for some tissue. I handed her a couple, and she said she needed a hell of a lot more than that for the mess I made in her. We both laughed as she pulled up and stuffed her pussy covering with tissue and ran for the bathroom. Life was good. Off to the New Year's party we went. Carly looked stunning. She had on a red blouse that matched her lacy red silk bra and panties perfectly. Lace and silk, it doesn't get much sexier than that, other than the blouse being really low cut to show ample breasts. Her skirt was a black mini skirt with a lace bottom on it. She would have to watch how she sat in that skirt. No matter how she sat, you would see thigh because of the side slit. She looked so good, she was dressed borderline slutty but in a good way. Everyone wanted us to sit at their table. My boss and his group, Carly's friends, and even the few friends I had. Sally and Judge Hawk invited us to their table. That's where we decided to sit. I looked at Sally and told her I never saw a lawyer look that good. She looked fantastic. They introduced us to everyone else at their table. They were mostly judges and their wives and all seemed like pretty nice people. The music was loud, but it was New Year's Eve. Carly and I got up and danced all the slow dances. Other men asked Carly to dance, but her answer was always, "Not this year. I only want to dance with my husband. This was our year to be together." The one exception we made was that I danced one dance with Sally and Carly danced once with the judge. They were special friends. As we were dancing, we found ourselves next to Karen, my ex-wife's sister. It just happened that we almost ran into Karen and her husband on the crowded dance floor. She looked and said, "Oh my God, it's Kevin." I looked over at her and said, "Well, good evening, Karen, and happy new year to you." Then I said, "I'd like to introduce you to my wife, Carly. Carly, this is Karen and her husband." He reached forward to shake Carly's hand and said, "Bob, my name's Bob." Carly gave her patented smile and said, "Glad to meet you, Bob and Karen." Then Carly looked at Karen and said, "Didn't we meet before at Robson's restaurant on Old Route 40 about 2 months ago?" Bob replied, "No, that place is too expensive for our tastes." Karen turned white and said, "Nice meeting you too. We have to get back to our seats." We knew she had to get back and tell Jim and Rachel that we were there. We looked over at their table. Rachel knocked over her drink when she found out I was there. We saw them turn to look at us quickly. We could hear Rachel say, "Oh my God, Jim, he's with your ex-wife." Jim almost fell off his chair trying to turn and look. Karen looked at Rachel and said, "Rachel, he introduced her as his wife." Jim said, "That son of a bitch set us up. They took us for over $100,000. Plus they set us up to get a venereal disease. How did they know everything?" Rachel said, "Kevin told me that someday he would get even with us." Jim said, "Maybe we can try taking them back to court." Karen laughed. "Give it up, you two. Do you guys see who they're sitting with? Sally Hawk and a half dozen judges, and if that's not enough, Jim, he could kick your ass from here into tomorrow. Make no mistake, Kevin's all man, and by the looks of his wife, she's all woman. They make a great couple." It was after midnight and the crowds was beginning to thin. Sally and the judge said their goodnights as well as the people at their table. So after our next dance, Carly and I decided to sit in a booth not too far from Rachel, Jim and their group. Carly left for the restroom. When she came back, she looked at Jim and Rachel kind of staring at her and me out of the corner of their eyes. Carly asked me if I was ready. I looked at her and asked, "Ready for what? To go home, honey? No, Kevin, are you ready for your revenge?" As she slipped her lacy red silk panties into my breast pocket, kind of sticking up like a hanky. Then right in front of Jim, Rachel, Karen and Bob, she unzipped my pants and pulled out my very hard cock, and while facing me, she pulled up her skirt and slid her pussy down over it and let it sink into the hilt. Then in words loud enough for the other table to hear, she said, "Happy New Year, lover! Who said revenge isn't sweet? Happy New Year!" The end. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer bonus episodes for as little as $2 per month. Thank you for listening.